The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Hello and happy hump day.
Yay!
It's time for the Nate Darling Show with Diana Hong, Ted Sampson,
yay,
Christiana D. And now, a man with the true love of lady lumps. Here's Nate.
Can't deny it. Hey, everybody's here. It's awesome. All of us. If your name was mentioned in the open of the show, you're here.
It's woo-hoo, true.
Present.
At least physically. So all yeah, those rumors can be put to rest that I try to start about how there's all the drama.
There's no drama.
Wait, drama. Who did you say you got rid of?
No, I was just saying that you guys didn't like each other, so that's why you're that supposed to be.
Oh, we're on like alternate schedules.
Yeah. Oh, it was Christiana and I didn't like each other. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I was always here. I don't know what's up with that.
I just can't get my shit together enough to be up my attendance record.
Well, and to be fair, Ted had weeks that he was out too. They just sort of happened to butt up against each other, so you guys didn't see each other for like a month.
It's true. Yeah. Hi, good to see you.
Yay.
Okay,
well, and we were originally going to be taping this a different day, right? And you wouldn't have been. Would we have missed you again if we were taping?
We would have missed Ted.
We would have missed
me. So it's good. This worked out.
It is. We're recording on Memorial Day.
Thanks for dying for our freedom, soldiers, so that we can get together and podcast today.
Yeah.
And buy mattresses on sale.
Oh, yeah. And outlet sales and
I'm
everything.
I'm not cynical. As my dad called me out on Facebook.
I wish I took a picture of your face and made that like the
Well, I posed the question, I think it was yesterday, on Facebook, where all the good questions get posed.
Sure.
Like, how long will it be until there's a blowout 9/11 mattress sales?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
So
too soon, man.
Edgy.
I know too soon, but when? But when won't it be too soon?
It's not too soon. It was a joke.
Isn't there?
No, I mean, when won't it be too soon to have the sale?
Exactly.
Well, if
but we probably and it, maybe the requirement is it has to be like a 3-day weekend first.
Yeah.
But 9/11 is already too close to Labor Day, mm-hmm, so would they have to like observe 9/11 on a different day?
Maybe they could move it to 11/11 and combine it with Veterans Day.
There you go.
I'm always thinking.
Yeah.
Coming
then
up,
we can have sales.
I wonder if they would have sales for that.
No, if they were profitable, yes. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, they're always going to be profitable. I mean, like, let's be real. Like, that is, I mean, that wasn't Bush in office when that happened?
He sure was.
Yeah, that's the thing that, like, kind of saved his ass for a minute because everyone forgot how stupid he was and just, like, united and was like, yeah, we should all, like, be people now for a little bit.
And it was actually, we all were supposed to go shopping, right?
Yes, go back to the mall. Go back to the mall. To be fair, 9/11 happened. He hadn't been in office that long either, so
I don't think
America had discovered that he was as
dumb
as he is.
Wasn't that like 2009?
He was elected in 2000.
They had an inkling, I think, that he wasn't the brightest.
Well,
yeah,
you,
I think
some of us did.
SNL kind of jumped on that pretty quick.
I can still remember the articles that came out about when like record companies went back to releasing stuff. Like for a while, you know, you couldn't release anything on September 11th,
right?
Like you couldn't do anything on that day, and it took like 2 or 3 years until it was like, okay, I think we can go back to using that date in print to refer to something
besides that event.
Well, we've passed the 10-year mark and the Freedom Towers are up, so I think we can move. And Osama bin Laden's dead, so I think we're
time for sale.
And the museum is open, which has got a lot of press this week. I don't know
Exit through the gift shop, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Every museum exits you through the gift shop. That's how they make money. And
I don't mind.
No,
I don't either. Mind there being a gift shop. I might, but I'll never go see that museum.
I have no
urge to go there. It's not my pain, not my city. I haven't forgotten. If I forget, somebody please take me there. But I don't think I'm going to forget. Therefore, it's cool.
I've been to the 9/11 site before the Freedom Towers were up, and I went into the little, it wasn't the museum that they have now, it was a small thing, and they had, and you could buy videos of it too, of the events that unfolded that day, and they were playing on a TV in the corner, and they had coffee table books, and I thought to myself, I never want to live through that again, I cannot imagine wanting a coffee table book.
No.
To commemorate or remember. Now, I might feel differently if I have kids and I want to teach them about it and I want to have the resource material to do so, then I might feel differently. But as of now, no. I did buy a NYPD pen when I left the gift shop. So I wanted to give a little support.
I didn't go to New York until after 9/11. Never visited it before. So I didn't see the towers in person. And when I was there visiting, there was like a discussion with the person I was there with at the time about, you know, did you want to go down and see the site? And I thought, no, not because I don't respect the location, but I didn't know the skyline in person when there were towers.
Right.
It didn't look differently to me in person. You know, it's not my experiencing 9/11 in that city was not, that's not mine. That's not my thing.
Yeah. And I mean, to each their own in terms of that, I don't think anybody should be like, no, you have to, or you should, or whatever. No, I don't believe so. All right. So how was your week, Ted?
It was pretty good. Becca and I saw the Lego Movie, which was a lot of fun.
It's the best.
Yeah, you saw, yeah, it was super.
Everything
it was.
Is awesome.
I did not know where it was going, and it was really clever, really smart, kind of a little spiritual in some ways, if you want to say that. It was really neat. It was fun. Check it out.
It's on
really
Netflix good. Now, isn't it?
If it is, we saw it at the Sunrise Cheapy Theater, so nice. Maybe we should see it on Netflix
is
instead.
It on? Oh my gosh, I'm gonna like be. Disappear
oh.
for a while.
Yeah, check it out. It's a lot of fun. It's cute, but it's more than just sugar. It's there's some substance to it.
It had a lot of good like grown up jokes, like Muppet style, you know, where they have stuff for the older set.
Yeah,
it's fun for all ages.
Yeah, check it out,
Diana. What about you? What was your?
I spent some time in San Francisco, visited with an old friend, and saw some other old friends. So I had a lot of fun, and then saw X-Men.
How was X-Men?
Wonderful.
Aw.
And Ellen Page. We're getting married. I'm like, I walked out of the theater and like my day was just made. I'm like, we're getting married. Then I Googled it. She has a girlfriend right now, but that's fine. I probably won't actually meet her in person for another couple years. So
sure, you got to give them time.
Yeah, they're going to break up. It's cool because we're meant to be together.
Yeah.
Nice.
Swooping for the rebound.
It's important.
But yeah, I really liked it. I haven't watched a movie in theaters were in a long time where I walked down and was like, hey, that was pretty good. Like, so that was, I would recommend seeing if you're into that kind of stuff. I love X-Men and huge crush on Hugh Jackman. I basically just went there to stare at the actors. That's kind of what just went down.
Well, that's what the big screen's for.
Yeah. And you get to see Hugh Jackman's ass. So ladies Woo-hoo! And gentlemen,
If you're into Hugh Jackman's ass,
you should be. It's a nice ass.
I'm not sure I am, but I've given it a chance.
Give it a try, Ted.
I'll Google it right now. Give you my report.
Bing it if you'd like.
I'm gonna ask Jeeves that shit right now. What does his ass look like? No,
right. Christiana, I know your husband and daughter are still overseas.
They
as
are.
Record this. I saw a photo of her with a pint.
Sure. Well, she was sitting in front of a pint.
Sorry.
We do offer her beer. She never drinks it.
Well, yes.
We don't. We don't really.
She won't be into that for a while.
Footnote: we don't actually try to get her to drink beer. but they're having a good time. They spent this weekend camping up in the Yorkshire Dales.
I didn't know British people camped.
They do. They go on surf trips too, which is weird.
Why do they surf?
Like Cornwall.
Oh,
it's always like fucking cold though.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they seem to be having a good time. I'm getting a lot of good pictures on Facebook. We Skype every so often. They'll be back in about a week. So it's good. I've been doing a couple of house projects, which I won't mention because it'll be a surprise for Rob. And
perfect.
I don't know if he'll listen to this while he's gone. I mean, I'm sure he will listen to it.
He does listen to the show.
He does listen to the
show.
So
it would make sense that for a transatlantic flight and then a cross-country flight on top of that, that he would, you know, stock up and listen.
That's true. So I'm not going to say. But anyway, it's been busy. It's been a nice weekend. Had a good long weekend.
Cool. I saw Million Dollar Arm today.
Damn you. Ooh, nobody wanted to go see that movie with me.
Oh, well, it was.
God
it was,
damn you, Nate.
Sorry.
It should have been an outing, Nate. That should have been.
Way to ruin our weekend, Nate.
Wow, this is awkward. I'm offended.
I wasn't aware it was anything you wanted to see. It was sort of a last minute thing.
Well, should have put on Facebook. Like, I should have put the bat sign out.
Yeah, you should have.
Was it good?
It was a decent little movie. It wasn't a great movie. It was. Listen, you're not going to lose anything by waiting 2 months and seeing it on DVD or Netflix. It's not something you have to see on the big screen.
Yeah, but, you know.
It's a good movie. You'll walk out of the movie feeling good.
What's his name's in it? He's adorable.
John Hamm?
Yeah.
Did you say he's doable?
Adorable.
Adorable.
No, I said adorable, but also...
You can't spell adorable without doable.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means anything.
That means a awkwardly not... No, no, no.
All right.
Because usually when I say adorable, it's like, you know, like, oh, you're talking about a kid or like a puppy. Aww. Or a bunny.
You should do none of those
not
things.
You should not do not doable.
All right.
Yeah.
A John, lesson in doability.
John Hamm... How can I put this delicately? He plays one character with the same sort of inflection and the same sort of delivery. So there's a lot of Don Draper-esque type reactions in this, even though it's a very different character. It's because he lacks what we like to call range.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
And there's nothing wrong with that. John Wayne had zero range, and he was a huge
Wait,
movie
John
star.
John Hamm has a ton of range. No, he's a hilarious comedic actor. Do you know he was originally going to be, or I don't know if originally, but he was like one of the top two contenders to be Jack Donaghy on 30 Rock.
And how'd that work out? He lost out.
Yeah, but he's super funny.
Well, he was considered.
He was considered, but he didn't actually make... the cut.
His SNL episode was fantastic.
And the other thing is Jack Donaghy in 30 Rock is not that huge a departure from a Don Draper style. That same style would have worked in that character.
I'm sorry.
It would have.
You're just wrong. I can't.
Well.
Your opinion is invalid.
Well, I've seen the movie and you haven't, so there.
Oh.
Well, maybe he wouldn't have a lot of range in that film, but he has range as an actor.
It is a poorly written film.
I don't even know who this fucking actor is.
John Hamm?
Really?
Mad Men.
He's in Mad Men. He's to do with the...
Do I look like someone who watches Mad Men?
Everybody watches Mad Men,
I don't
you
watch
know?
Mad Men.
What is wrong with you?
That's weird. I mean, even I know what goes on in Breaking Bad and I didn't watch it.
Well, I mean, Breaking Bad makes sense. Yeah, I know Breaking Bad. Mad Men, no.
Well, even people who don't watch Mad Men know who John Hamm is.
Maybe if I see him, I think
we're
Googling
it. I'll
try to
find a picture for you.
This is why I need the internet in my life. I'm so out of touch with society.
By the way, Mad Men just finished up the first part of its final season.
Oh, and, he's so doable.
And I won't ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen it yet, because this is coming on a Wednesday. That's only about a three-day thing. I will say this, though. This is the one little hint I will give you. And this is the last Mad Men until next year, until 2015.
Such bullshit.
One of the main characters dies.
Bum, bum, bum.
One of the main characters
dies. It was a good episode.
Bum, 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 it was a very good episode. I did not care for the thing at the very end, because I was like, what the fuck? Did they have like 3 minutes to fill and they just wanted to do this?
I know.
Yeah, so other than that, I thought it was a really good episode. I enjoyed Sacramento resident... Kevin Rahm, his character is Ted Chaw, up in the plane with the Sunkist executives.
That's true, and there was a Claremont reference, which is always fun.
So it was a delightful part of the episode. So catch up on Mad Men, and then wait for another year.
Well, is it on Netflix?
It is.
Yeah,
you can watch. Oh yeah, yeah. Five seasons or so.
Yeah.
I hate like watching shows and then having to wait go on that hiatus. Like, I rather wait for like I wait till like the series is over.
Oh, that's where I am too, Diana. But people like Nate probably don't like us because we're killing TV.
Well, no,
you're only hurting yourself. You're just killing a specific kind of TV.
Yeah,
hurting ourselves. No,
basically
we enjoy that way of doing it.
That's fine, and okay. That's fine. Do whatever you want, but
thanks.
But you cannot
don't complain.
You can't come back and bitch when Community gets canceled because no one watches it.
I won't. Don't worry.
Okay,
but Becca might.
Well,
that means the series is short, so I can watch the whole series in a couple sittings. I'm sorry, that wasn't
Mad Men?
Nice thing to see.
Oh,
no, I'm talking about Community. It's like when shows get canceled.
Aww.
That was not a nice thing. I apologize.
It's okay. Becca's not here.
No,
it's only real people's
mourning,
jobs that get affected.
She's
I mean,
not
whatever.
Here. Exactly. So basically, yeah, you're killing livelihoods.
Ain't my bitch, ain't my problem. That's all.
Hearts.
My friend has a cute kid to feed. His show got canceled and it makes me sad.
Oh, oh shit, what show?
Enlisted. Yeah, that's
why didn't you watch that
brilliant.
Show, Diana?
I don't have cable or TV or time.
Why do you hate America?
I don't have the triple T's.
The double D's, but that's the triple T's. What?
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 I don't know. It's a boob joke.
Single E.
Do I have T's?
I don't know.
That would have worked.
You would know better than anyone here, probably.
I would think, yeah.
It's been a while.
Since you wore a prom?
Since I bought one.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's true.
That's probably more information needed than I needed. Sorry, Diana.
So one of my friends posted this on Facebook, since we mentioned Facebook. It's an article from The Atlantic entitled "Empathetically Correct is the New Politically Correct." Apparently, there's a new movement for something they're calling trigger warnings in college classrooms. And the author calls it a troubling trend toward protecting people from their own individual sensitivities. So basically, what a trigger warning is so let's say you're going to be experiencing the classics in literature, and there's something in let's say you're going to be reading Moby Dick and talking about Moby Dick, and you have this huge fear of the ocean or ocean mammals. I'm making a very broad example.
I think it's more like if you're reading Moby Dick and you've been raped by a whale, it should be a trigger warning.
It's always about rape with you, isn't it? Always. Yeah. So anyway,
that would suck to be raped by a whale named Moby Dick.
It would be, because you know he's packing
any kind of whale.
I mean, but a whale has a huge D.
It's
like
a
that
Moby
one.
Dick.
Mm-hmm. It's true. So
porn
anyway,
star name.
Oh, dude, that would be a good
like
porn
a big
star
white
name.
Dude. Yeah. Moby Dick. Ahoy. I don't know. Never mind. I'm not naming porn stars. Continue, Nate. Sorry.
Dude, I want to have a kid and have him grow up to be a porn star. And be like, dude, I got a name for you. That's a horrible thing to say as a person and parent. I'm sorry. Never mind.
And a terrible pun, too. No.
Oh, no. Moving on.
Yes, moving on. It's interesting. It's a long article, so just trying to break it down to what they're talking about. The purpose of trigger warnings, according to a Rutgers student calling for them, is to permit students to either plan ahead for, quote, tackling triggering messages. It says massages, but anyway, messages, they can't spell, so how should we warn them about spelling?
Yes, that's my trigger.
Or to quote an alternate reading schedule with their professor. No, you don't get an alternate reading schedule. I'm sorry. The student, a sophomore and surprisingly an English major, advocates professors warning students as to which passages contain triggering material and which are safer so that students can read only portions of the book with which they are fully comfortable.
No. So you're studying literature, fucking study all the literature, not the bits you like.
Well, I think I think more than that, when you're especially a student at university level, look into what you're reading before you read it. And if it does present...
Get the Cliff Notes.
If it does... I mean, just Wikipedia. Read the back of the book for the summary. Like... No, you should probably, by the time you're an English major, at least for stuff like Tess of the D'Urbervilles or whatever else, you should probably have some kind of passing familiarity with the themes or general plot of those books. And if you have a subject that you are concerned with, then you look for it. And if it is a problem, then I'd say, I mean, go to the professor, talk with the professor about it. But I don't know that it's the professor's job to tell you something, you know, that's just sort of part of research and critical thinking. You should get out of my bag.
I think that people should kind of, this is going to sound really insensitive and obviously not empathetic, but put their big girl panties on and just deal with it. Like, it's just, unless it's like very recent, like obviously if it's something really traumatic, go get help. If you're in a university, there's resources for you. Like,
yeah.
That's the thing. That's a possibility. It's free. If you're a student, it's free. There's resources. Go get help. From there, you know, do what you got to do. But this whole trigger thing, only picking them, it's like you're kind of creating your own bubble. And I think that's not healthy, or, you know, you're just.
Yeah. Avoiding the world does not help when you need to deal with things.
Exactly.
In the world.
And then on top of that, like. You know, what are you gonna, when you walk around, you're just gonna go up to people and be like, can you not wear that, or can you not do that? Like, no, you just fucking deal with it. You signed up for it. Like, you signed up for classes, you signed up to learn, you signed up to be challenged,
right?
Like, that's the whole point. Like, I've gone through, like, and I'm speaking from, like, not to be like completely insensitive, because I've gone through that. Like, there's, when I was in high school, like, there's a lot of material that we were studying that I was uncomfortable with because it did trigger some stuff, but I had to get over it. Like, there's just a thing. Like, it's, why am I going to go to my teacher and be like, I'm really uncomfortable with this material. Like, I can't. No, like I think it's like kind of one of those things, you're just being a little too sensitive.
Well, and I think it's fine to go to your professor and say, this makes me really uncomfortable because, and have a conversation about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have a conversation, but if it's just a, I don't know, I think there's some, if it's part of the curriculum that's been there for years, like if it's a classic, like for example, if it's like Moby Dick or something, it's a classic, it's something like if you're a literature major and it's, but they have like a rape scene in it.
Yes.
Right? And you just want to be like, no, I don't want to, that's probably essential to the book.
Yeah, like if you've murdered your father and you're going to be covering Hamlet and you're like, listen, I've had issues with this before. I don't want to. So the author of the article, her name is Karen Swallow Pryor.
There's another porn star in it.
It is.
She feels so mature laughing at
she,
that.
She writes, so I'm not mature. Entirely unsympathetic. As an English professor, I had a student who was a rape survivor express feeling traumatized by classroom discussion of Thomas Hardy's Tess of the D'Urbervilles, as you brought up. I learned about her difficulty only following the repeated absences from class. A trigger warning might have prevented or merely ensured these absences, but a person traumatized by reading a Victorian novel is a person in need of help, and the entire episode brought about the small crisis, which resulted in a more important outcome, getting her connected with a college counselor.
I think it's very important to get help, and if like it's good to like... I'm not discounting that at all. Like, having a communication with your professor, especially if you're going to miss class because it's bothering you that much, you really should talk to someone about it. And at least so, you know, your grade doesn't suffer. Like, but that's also taking initiative. I think it's very important to take initiative as opposed to just, like, kind of hiding and not doing anything about it and just not showing up.
Can I just say I didn't know she was a rape survivor when I made my porn star joke? I apologize for that.
No, Karen Swallows Pryor is not. She's a professor.
Okay, then never mind. I stand by it. Never mind.
I think it's an okay topic to discuss. I think this article's not great. I think it sort of goes off the rails. She starts the writer starts making some like religious freedom and liberties parallels, and I don't think they work. I don't think it's a very convincing argument, but I'll be really sad when this becomes the rhetorical punching bag that political correctness has become, which will do a disservice to actual issues that need to be addressed. Like, she references that, you know, it's a good thing that the girl was faced with this bad thing because it helped her get help.
Right.
But it'll be sad when we just start rolling our eyes at it as we do with political correctness, which both of them have their roots in addressing legitimate issues.
Right.
You know?
But that they can take them too far. And then if everything is a crisis, nothing is a crisis.
Well, I don't know that they get taken too far. I think they get taken too far by...
No, but they have been taken too far.
24-hour news cycles and stuff that turn it into something it's not, especially when you look at political correctness.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
Well, anytime somebody tries to correct racist actions or whatever, the person who doesn't want to be correct is like, oh, save your political correct bullshit. You don't get to come back and say that everything is a liberal overreaction because you don't want to deal with your fucking racism, you know? And I think I don't think that college literature courses syllabi should be required to dissect and note every potential harmful thing. But the flip side of that is, you know, is it going to kill being empathetic to people's actual, like, legitimate concerns about the way things are presented or discussed or the language that is used or whatever? I just think that this kind of thing, these reaction and these process pieces, kills actual discourse about, you know, the way to view the world.
I agree. With that, I mean, it does, because she took it in a way where I was kind of even more like, that's a little much, like having to, like, where the professor really has to put like bullet points and then like, what if they miss one? Like, let's say someone was like really just terrified of whales and that was like their trigger thing and then she had everything else, right? And then the teacher gets in trouble. Like, I can see things like that happening, and it's just like, it's taking it too far. So I agree with Christiane. Like, it's unfortunate. You're right. Like, about the political. That's why I was asking, because I wasn't really sure. But then, like, I have seen instances like that where people really just don't like, people don't like being called out.
No.
And so,
and this article goes on to say that empathy even has a dark side. Paul Bloom, in his article "Case Against Empathy," counters a spate of pro-empathy books and studies in recent years. He argues that empathy, quote, is parochial, narrow-minded, and innumerate. We're often at our best when we're smart enough to not rely on it. So. It, the point being made in that whole thing. And that's where this article gets crazy. It's almost like a research paper as opposed to an article, because it's like, okay, now I have to go read this article about this and this article about this. And I see their point, but you know, by the time you get to college, it's time to handle things like an adult and figure out what your triggers are. And if you have them, deal with them and talk it out with the people that you need to.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know if it's like the same thing, but like hazing.
No, it's like, not at all the same thing.
No, but what I mean by that, like when I went to college, like it, like hazing, I think there's varying degrees of it. Like you, like some of the shit that went down was like not cool. Like frat and sorority, what they did. But like when I went, like you couldn't even call the freshman. That's considered hazing.
What?
Yeah, like people. I got in trouble for calling my freshman.
But how did you say it? Freshman.
Where I was like, hey, freshman, go get the bags. Like I got the bags when I was a freshman too. It was just like initiation.
But that
thing.
Doesn't make it okay.
What are you supposed to call them? People of freshness.
You're supposed to come by their. Apparently, they're supposed to have their name. Like
their name.
I was like, I didn't get my name till I was a sophomore. Like, not like they were me. It was just like a thing. I don't know. I think people. And then like you know, it was just like being sensitive. That's the way I took the article. The way it was written. It's just like people are just way too sensitive. They're not taking their own initiatives for things. I don't know if that's communicating correctly. Maybe not. Maybe that was a bad example.
Yeah. If you have an issue with something, then go to somebody in authority and say, I have an issue with this because of this, and they'll help you deal with it.
Yeah.
I mean, whether you're in college or whether you're in the workplace, that's what managers and professors are there for.
Supposedly,
in theory.
If they're good at their job.
Yeah. All right. So now on to less touchy things. It's officially too late to speak now. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are finally husband and wife.
Next.
I thought they already were husband and wife, so
nope.
I don't really care.
No, they tied
baby mama and baby daddy.
They tied the knot on Saturday at Fort de Belvedere in Florence, Italy, surrounded by family and friends. And according to onlookers, Kanye was pretty nervous before the ceremony.
Really?
Apparently, Andrea Bocelli sang as Kim walked down the aisle beside Bruce Jenner. TMZ sources say all guests were required to sign a confidentiality agreement. Based on pics of the wedding site, it looks like the reception was held at the fort, but the way things have been going, who knows? They've been all over Europe.
Do you think the RSVP card had a little non-disclosure agreement in it or something like that?
Probably.
Yeah. How did they know if everyone signed a confidentiality agreement, how they know about Andre Bocelli singing?
Because they're photographers with long lenses far away getting shots.
Creepy.
Yeah, and the parabolic microphones.
Yeah, we're done with that.
Everybody needs to know.
Actually, I want to know how Northwest, was she just carried as a flower girl? Or was she the actual flower? Like, I can't sleep without knowing this information.
Not mentioned in the TMZ article.
You know what?
I'm sorry.
TMZ is slacking off.
Well, you know, they only cover the bit. I didn't get every. There were several Kim and Kanye got married stories. I only picked one to read. Sorry.
I saw my favorite one was the one. I think it was in the New York Post. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think it was like Kimmy or something like. Two assholes or something like got married. Yeah. Like it was really funny. It was just completely like no one gives a fuck. Like the sex tape star Kim Kardashian and egoist Kim, what's his name?
Kanye.
Kanye. Kimye, I don't know. But yeah, they're just together. Like kind of like this is Kimye. Like fucking stupid. Like who cares?
No, they're just another. They're just another couple in love.
Aww.
They're not in love. They're in lust because. There's shells of people.
What?
Aww.
Except for, yeah.
Kanye actually. May have heart. I don't know much about them.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't.
Okay.
But that's fine. I don't care.
He's an artiste. Becca likes his music.
I'm
in him.
I'm well aware that she does, and that's fine.
Becca and I.
Whatever Becca thinks, I know she's right. No, I'm kidding. I think she's a good judge of character is all I'm saying. I don't really listen to Kanye West, so I don't have my own opinion about him.
You know, here's what I will say about Kanye West. Not my thing.
He was my thing until after graduation album. Anything after the graduation album, not my thing.
Mm.
All right.
No? No one knows? Okay.
I don't know.
No, sorry.
Probably something that you didn't like.
Haven't memorized his discography. Can't help you. Donald Sterling has thrown in the towel. He was going to sue. He was going to fight. And then he changed his mind, which he apparently does quite often now. He is surrendering control of the Clippers to his wife, estranged wife, Shelly. TMZ learned that he has let her take the reins, and she's now secretly negotiating with the NBA to sell the team on her terms. Sources close to the Clippers organization tell TMZ Sports that Donald made the decision because he saw the handwriting on the wall. As long as he remained in control, the NBA would order an involuntary sale of the team. Sources say that Shelley and her lawyer, Pierce O'Donnell, have been secretly meeting with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. Adam Silver?
Fully Jewish.
Possibly.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
And NBA lawyers to resolve the dispute amicably. Apparently, Shelley realizes the NBA wants the team sold, but she has significantly more leverage and credibility with the league than Donald does. Her endgame is simple. She won't object to the sale, but she wants to call the shots. Theory behind it, they don't want Magic Johnson buying the team.
Oh.
But she apparently has already met with Steve Ballmer of Microsoft.
Steve Ballmer? No, he doesn't get one of those.
Why don't
no.
they want Magic buying the team?
Because
just a thing?
Were you not paying attention to the whole thing with Donald
no,
Sterling?
I know.
It all started
what
with the photo.
Your cat attacked my toe for reasons that are unclear. It was literally biting my toe.
It all started with the Instagram photo with V. Stiviano and Magic
yeah,
Johnson.
Yeah, I guess.
And Donald Sterling has this weird thing that Magic Johnson is out to get him. So
with AIDS.
Isn't he? I hope he is out to get
he's
him.
He's got AIDS.
Go get him.
He's got AIDS. He's out to get
he's
Sterling
got
with
AIDS.
AIDS.
No, he's got the AIDS.
He's going to get the AIDS all over Donald Sterling.
Yeah, you don't want to get it all over
through
you.
His mistress, I guess.
Hmm.
It's tragic.
It is. I had a terrible thought, too, and this is sort of Sacramento local. What if the Maloofs bought the Ugh. LA Clippers?
They don't have any money.
They do. They just sold the Kings
they
last year for a pile
don't
of
have,
money.
They're still largely
the worst.
In the negative, so...
I don't know. I would swap balance sheets with them.
Oh, well,
I'm pretty
true.
Sure they're doing okay. It was just a terrible thought in my mind. I hate cliches. I really do. Ted, are you okay over there?
Ted is after my exposed toes.
Oh, you're getting a cat pedicure. Okay.
But the pet pedicure.
It's the next step
pedicure.
Up from those little fish that eat the dead skin. They're just
oh,
going to
yeah.
put cats in there
oh,
to remove
yeah.
up your feet.
The dead and the live skin and the bone and the everything in between.
Whatever else is
cuticles,
good.
Cuticles, whatever.
Because sometimes people throw out cliches without really thinking what do they mean? Do they have a meaning in this situation that's going to come back and bite you? Well, Ray
like
Rice,
a cat.
Like a cat. Ray Rice, who won't see a day in jail for allegedly knocking out his then fiance, who's now his wife, in a casino elevator. And then there was a video of him dragging her limp body out of the place through the door. Held a joint press conference with her, and here's some of the stuff that they actually said on TV.
Sometimes in life, you will fail, you know. But I won't call myself a failure. Failure is not getting knocked down. It's not getting up. And
like my wife.
You are holding a press conference because you allegedly knocked out your fiance and were dragging her unconscious body. And you say this?
I won't call myself a failure. Failure is not getting knocked down. It's not getting up.
So she's not a failure because she got back up.
Or, like, is it because he did kill her? Like, what? Oh, and my favorite. Are we playing the whole video?
I can. If
oh,
you
no,
because,
like, there was this one quote there talking about how he's like, didn't he say, like, she deeply regrets the
her involvement.
Her involvement.
Well, let's continue with this
so really
with this little gem.
Wrong.
And, you know, I just, sorry. We are better parents. We are better lovers, and we're also better friends throughout the situation. But through all things, you know, we were able to get through this. And, you know, and there was a lot of tears shed, but me and Janae can truly say that, you know, we're in a better place. And we just...
Right, she's conscious.
Hopefully all one day I'll gain back everyone's trust to let y'all know that.
I do deeply regret the role that I played in the incident that night. But I can say that I am happy that we continue to work through it together, and we are continuing to strengthen our relationship and our marriage and do what we have to do for.
Shut the fuck up. Are you serious?
That's exactly what they said. It was carried live on ESPN.
What's his version of the story if he didn't actually knock her out and drag her?
Well, they're not saying that. Uh-oh. They're never going to say anything about that because you're okay. not going to say anything to incriminate yourself.
Oh, no. I know if he had some other excuse. Oh, she passed out from too much booze. And
no. My guess is they had a fight of some sort. And unlike Jay-Z, He didn't just stand there with his hands by his side. So her, and I'm just speculating that she tried to go Solange, pre-Solange, but there was no bodyguard, and he didn't stand there like Jay-Z.
Or did he just go Chris Brown on her?
Well, if she had a role in it, my guess is that there was some sort of altercation.
That's what supposedly happened with Rihanna and Chris Brown. Rihanna was like giving him shit about cheating or something like that, reading his phone, and then Chris Brown went ape shit.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
I can't believe she said that. Because the way I read it, when I just read the quotes, and I thought he said she regretted the role that she played, not that she said.
She
that
said she, it. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow. I have a very low tolerance for domestic violence. Either way, like whoever it is, I mean, I'm not saying, like, especially, well, for me, it's like if the guy hits a female too.
It's not okay to hit other people.
It's not okay to hit other people, but if you're like a big football dude.
It's not okay to hit other people. Can we all please agree to this?
We're going
to
agree on that.
It's not okay to hit other people.
How about biting their toes? Is that okay? Because your cat's doing that.
Well, he's a cat.
He's not a person.
Fine. That's his
You want to call 911?
I
do.
You want to do the callback? I know
the outcome looks much worse, and it's a much less fair fight one way than the other, but please, people, don't hit each other.
Or kick each other in the balls.
Use your words.
Hopefully they're seeking counseling or something, and
it doesn't
something
matter.
Good will
just,
come of this.
Nothing,
no, it matters to me that they have some kind of outcome of this, that they learn from
he
it.
He should be in jail. I'm sorry. He should
some
be
kind
in jail.
Of communication and
I have
hopefully
zero tolerance for that kind of shit.
I don't have tolerance for it either, and now I'm gonna sound like an apologist for Chris Brown or whatever, but is it a pattern? Like, has he done it a lot, this guy?
We don't know that, and that's the thing, we don't know.
If he has, I say put him in jail. If it was, it's
because we don't
can people ever be redeemed from doing stuff like, or it, once you lash out, are you predisposed to violence and therefore you should go to jail and you should, I mean, whatever. Can people change? Can they be forgiven for these kinds of interactions?
Well, that's what I'm saying when I hope they see counseling, because, you know, you throw someone in jail, what happens in jail? Do you learn how to be a better person? I don't know. But
I
if
think
you, know,
you just get the shit beat out of you.
If you and your love, if a partner that you love that you have problems can go see counseling, maybe you can come out the other side as better people. So that's all I can hope for them. You know?
I would agree, but based on this press, like this statement, and obviously he had to have talked to his PR agent or someone. He discussed with someone what he was going to say, and they said that's brilliant, because he probably went to them and be like, I don't really want to apologize, but I kind of do.
And this,
this
was edited, so this wasn't the whole press conference. They cut it up down to the interesting parts, because I'm sure there was a lot of other things
just,
that were in
it's
there.
It's just like I get weirded out by some things, because it's just like I feel like because they are rich and they do have some type of power, it's not they're very unapologetic and they don't see consequences for their actions. It's one thing if they do. I think people can be redeemed. Like, people do make mistakes. I see that. Granted, some mistakes are worse than others.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go actively try to get help, or you and you try to, especially if you're someone with celebrity status, you obviously need to go out of your way a little more for the public eye and like do your own personal thing. But as well as, like, I don't know, donate or help out to community service stuff to like kind of see the other side and clear your conscience a little bit for the public eye. I get that. But based on this, and maybe I'm jumping the gun here, he really didn't learn shit, and it's a lot harder if you're a male in that kind of position, I feel like, because of the whole masculinity, having to live up to that expectation, the hypermasculine ideal, that I see that a lot with male celebrities.
Especially
football players.
Again, and I don't know.
Rappers.
Yeah, and the thing is, he does not, to my knowledge, have a history of this. And what we do know is there was drinking on both sides that went along with this. And, you know, he's a much bigger dude than she is. And she might have hit him, and then he, you know, lashed out as a drunken person might and knocked her out. It's not a good situation. But yeah, let's just agree, no more cliches.
I just looked on the internet. They are attending therapy counseling. You know?
Yeah, I think it's part of a goal to not get suspended by the NFL.
Well, yeah, I think that's
things.
Like that's something.
Whatever
like
his motives are, right. You know, we can question anyone's motives. Oh, you're doing it for to impress people, but maybe he has legitimate reasons. I heard his voice. He sounded like he had some emotion there. Maybe he's just a really good acting football player, and we can question his emotions and his motives and his soul until he proves us wrong. But I don't know. I can just hope that counseling works out for them.
Yeah, for them and their little kid.
So exactly.
That's exactly what we can hope for. So with that said, where is it? Oh, yeah, it's right here. Let's do this.
They act, we decide. Cool or tool.
All right, first up in Cooler Tool, Destination Weddings, Ted.
I'm going to say Tool slightly just because it's really expensive to get to them sometimes.
Diana?
Oh, it is. Yeah, I would say Tool. That's true. Fucking people expecting you to fly out for their shit and then mad when you can't go. No.
Christiana?
It's a great way to limit who comes to your wedding. So cool.
Ah.
Wow, touche.
Yeah, Destination Weddings, they're kind of Tool, but I mean, you know, whatever. You know, the big Tool thing is if you expect people to fly to your wedding or go somewhere way the fuck out for your wedding, and then you get pissed if they don't give you a really nice gift too. Fuck you. The gift was going.
Who does that?
Dicks.
Did somebody actually do that to you?
No.
You're just hypothesizing.
I'm just saying.
I attended a friend's wedding. They had it like at Point Reyes area in Marin, and they actually did charge people to attend for the room and board, and they're expecting gifts as well. So I was a little put off
by
that.
How are they expecting?
Like,
gifts?
You have to PayPal your payment to attend the wedding, is how it worked.
Oh, right. That's not that. Well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Wait, you have to pay to attend the wedding.
Exactly. Like, but it was really nice because there was room and board. Anyway, sorry.
Wait,
to
they paid. Wait, they covered your hotel or no?
No, they wanted you to.
Well,
put
I wouldn't
money.
Expect. I wouldn't expect hosted accommodation for a thing. But then they also wanted. Were they asking just for money for their wedding?
To cover the food they were feeding you and the accommodations
and all
that.
Were these adults from America? No, I'm serious. Like
they were adults from America.
Yeah, that's the most declassed day thing ever.
Yes.
It was really wrong.
That has nothing to do with it being a destination wedding. That's two assholes throw a wedding.
Oh, right. Yeah. So. This was a long time ago.
Even Kimye didn't even do that.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That you know of. Up next in Cooler Tool, living on your own terms, Diana.
I don't understand what do you mean by own terms?
Living on your own terms.
Which one are you?
Your
terms.
Oh, because he did that. I guess. Yeah, it's cool to get out of. It's kind of Tool-y.
Nah.
Shit, I can't even decide. I'm going to go with Tool.
Okay. Oh. Christiana?
I don't remember. What story is this?
It's Don Sterling,
question.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Tool. You know what? Everybody lives in a fucking community, so take your own terms and shove it up your ass.
Ted?
Yeah. I live by your heart and soul, but don't live just solely for yourself. So I'm going to go Tool just based on the wording of that.
Yeah, I like his his answer.
Yeah, it's absolutely Tool. We live in a society. Live in a society with other people, dick. Just keep your own terms for your own house.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. And finally, I think you're going to know how I'm going to answer on this. Cliches, Christiana.
Nope.
We're into the music.
Wow, that went a long time.
Cliches are they're cool. They're useful.
Diana?
Tool.
Dead?
They're nothing to shake a stick at. I don't know. They're tools that are relatively cool, I suppose. They're useful.
One?
Yeah, it is. So nothing to shake a stick at. I'm not sure exactly what it means, but or where it came from. Anyway.
Yeah, cliches are Tool. Because eventually you'll say the wrong one at the wrong time.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I hate Salon. Let me just say that right now before we even start this. I hate Salon.com.
Let's give them traffic then.
I think they're a bunch of hacks. Here are some of their most read stories. This is their most read story right now. Anal sex. Science's last taboo.
Salon used to be cool, too.
It
That's
did.
The sad thing to me is it used to be legit. And now it's angry... I don't like it because it's like full of angry liberal garbage, you know?
Well, they decided to take on Barbara Walters' real legacy. They're saying that her real legacy is The View, and that's worse for women than we realize. Or at least that's what Anne Elizabeth Moore says. last week, The View bid farewell to its retiring creator, Barbara Walters. She plans to slow down and, as they say, take little time to enjoy The View. As one typically... yeah, see? After nearly two decades on the air of the long-running news light daytime talk show for women, it's going to proceed without her. It's unfortunate, if fitting, that this is genuinely pioneering female journalist will be remembered for The View, a show that did considerably more damage to women in media than most people realize.
Is that true? I'd never watched The View. Christiana's woman, what do you think?
I think I didn't really watch The View either.
Okay.
Well, that's because The View is for dumb people.
Oh.
It's
See, it is more damaging.
I did watch a lot of the clips that were on like
the
Jezebel
soup?
About how bad okay. Elizabeth Hasselbeck was.
Yeah, okay. All.
Was she the right winger on that show?
Yes.
Oh, well.
She works at Fox News.
Yeah,
now.
Okay. Why was she on that show?
Because
they needed a right winger.
Yeah. We needed balance.
They wanted
no,
balance.
No, they needed ratings.
Well, yeah. And fighting with quotations and mark around it.
Well, yeah, and fighting is what gets dumb people to watch TV.
No,
yeah.
It doesn't. Does it work for broadcasts?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Jerry Springer does.
No, it does. I'm just trying to get ratings. Is it working?
That's not argument. That's merely contradiction, Ted.
It's not contradiction. Wait, I wish I remember that bit now.
It's not an argument. It's merely contradiction.
Yeah, we went to Monty Python. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we went from The View to Monty Python.
That'll
anyway,
give us ratings. All right, I'm done about ratings.
She began her first on-air reporting gig in 1956, covering a sinking ocean liner for The Today Show. And she beat out Walter Cronkite for interviews with Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin in 1977. Walters established herself as a tenacious reporter. She co-hosted and produced 2020 for ABC. Her 1999 interview with Monica Lewinsky, who just popped back up, earned her the title popular too.
That's when Barbara Walters was dead to me.
When she
was, she asked in a with a serious face, "What is phone sex?"
To be fair,
done.
To be fair, when she started, you had to go through Sarah down at the switchboard to have it.
How can I connect
I
you?
I can't picture.
So it was a three-way.
Christiana just like watching TV, like wide eyed, and be like, "Oh my God, Barbara Walters, you're so great." And then the minute she asks that question, just be like, "This bitch," and get up and walk away. Pretty much. I think I'm crying.
Getting all misty up there.
Yeah.
I don't know. She retired. That makes me sad.
She's in her mid-80s. It's time for her to retire.
She's a boss, man. I love 2020.
And she's not retired. She's just not going to be on. She's just not going to be on The View every day. She's still going to be producing. She'll still be, you know, controlling stuff. She's just not going to
really
have to.
She is the best. Like
1956, she was reporting for the Today Show.
That's so 1956.
Crazy.
She looks hella good for an old white lady. Like white people usually don't age well.
Whoa!
No, that's true,
Whoa.
Right?
No, I don't know.
It's
that's
white
true.
White people don't age well.
Stop the racism.
Yeah,
leave my people alone. I'm kidding. We've suffered a lot. I'm Jewish. I don't know which side of the team I'm on. Actually, white wise. Thank you. You laugh.
But
am I on team white or team Jew?
I don't know. I don't know that. I don't think The View has damaged Barbara Walters.
I think I agree with that whole. It did. It was a little. It's a little demeaning towards women in media in general because people refer to The View as the show that's just. Basically, it epitomizes women. They see that as the epitome of women because it's like they catfight for however long.
An hour.
An hour. So they catfight for an hour and like they just like talking. They're just like, yeah, it's just a bunch of women talking. But they don't do anything to really change it. And then they have the dumb bitch on there and then it just made everything worse.
Which is the dumb one?
Oh,
the
Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Gotcha.
Jenny McCarthy.
Oh, yeah.
Also the dumb bitches on
yeah.
there.
See, like it's just not well, I don't know. I think I thought The View was entertaining. It was cool to see people that I like. I mean, I was obsessed with Barbara Walters as a kid. Like I loved 2020. Like every Friday night, that was my shit.
That was your jam.
Mm-hmm.
That's really funny to me. Crazy high schooler.
I think
it was in elementary school.
Oh yeah. Wow.
I think Barbara Walters' legacy is long enough and strong enough that The View isn't going to ruin her because if nothing else, the idea behind it was to give women a voice on TV.
I mean, yeah, I guess it did that. I think it just kind of perpetuated stereotypes and ideas that shouldn't, the negative ones. And I mean, a lot of people now, it sucks because people just know Barbara Walters as that, and they don't, they didn't see the greatness before the whole, you know, View and Monica Lewinsky question.
I think women, I think people saw women as shallow well before The View. Let's not give her credit. Why don't we just lay the blame at like Anna Wintour's door, or Lady Mag, or
just say it just that it just kind of prepared. Oh yeah, it was definitely way before, but I think like having really intelligent, supposedly intelligent women on there, it turned poppy. It was, I mean, it's great for entertainment. I got the point. I don't think it was as socially as great as it the premise of it didn't do as much as it should have, but I think they're being a little harsh, but they do have a point. I think they took it to the extreme and say like it fucked up her career. I want to say that, but I would say
no, it's more
see
of
the,
legacy. Yeah,
yeah, I think I can kind of see it. Just, but I mean, no matter the last couple of things you do, the later generation is only going to remember that anyways. That's for everybody.
Yeah, and to be fair, there was a question for a long time was, is Saturday Night Live basically ruining her legacy by mocking her speech impediment? Because going back to the 70s, they had the whole Baba Wawa impression.
Her appearance on SNL a couple weeks ago probably fucked it up. She was not funny.
Okay.
I did not see
very
that.
Wooden delivery. It was surprisingly bad delivery of the
by the 85-year-old lady. I'm shocked.
Well, didn't like what's Betty White do one?
Oh, Betty,
she rocks
okay.
it.
Okay, no,
she Betty, doesn't rock it. I don't know.
Betty White does just fine for a lady of her age. I don't want to demean Betty White in any way, but let's dial it back.
She's amazing.
Let's dial it back just a bit. Mm. Betty White is fantastic for a woman of her age to do what she does, but she is not Tina Fey. As Tina Fey is now. She was 30 or 40 years ago. She was arguably better than Tina Fey and
Amy
Poehler.
Okay.
Aw, I can't wait.
This is going to be a fight later.
Wait.
You have Ellen Page.
And Hugh Jackman's ass.
In the space of one podcast.
You have a husband and a kid. You are winning in life.
She's on my list.
You have a little card.
She comes to the door. I get to go with her. That's it.
Did Rob
That's
sign
it.
An agreement to this?
Hey, straight, not narrow, man. Come on. I would, anybody who wouldn't go away with Tina Fey is stupid and incomprehensible to me.
Asexual.
Man or woman. Agendered, whatever.
Human being.
Tina Fey is an attractive lady.
Tina Fey is
she's awesome.
A goddess. Yeah. Like not just she's everything. She's the epitome of everything that I love in the world.
I saw her on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. I think that knocked her down from goddess status.
She's goddess?
Yeah, she's a person. She's a really funny, smart, capable person.
You shut your mouth.
I don't know. Though. Yeah, Nate, like just stop. First you knocked down Betty White, and then...
All right. Well,
as a white woman, she won't age well. We know that.
Oh,
much.
My God. Betty White actually did.
According
White
to sources.
Well,
yes, according
next
to sources.
To me.
Look at
Asian sources.
Look at Joan Rivers. She's eight. Oh, wait.
Oh, no. Someone
Dawn
asked
Sterling.
Me.
Oh, wait. Don't look at me there.
No. See, someone asked me, like, why don't you do Joan Rivers? And I was, like, appalled.
What? What a weird question.
You mean, like, an impression of her? Or?
No. Like, actually hit that. Like, given her the opportunity.
Oh,
like,
I
would have sex with her. And yeah. No.
Me neither. Me neither.
Right?
Yeah, no.
No, it's just.
Yeah, God bless her, but no. So this out of New Hampshire. Residents of Wolfboro are demanding the resignation of a town police commissioner after he called President Obama the N-word and then refused to apologize for it. He said, I believe I did use the N-word in reference to the current occupant of the White House, said Wolfboro Police Commissioner Robert Copeland, who is white. In a recent email to his fellow commissioners, according to the Associated Press, to go on, he said, for this, I do not apologize. He meets and exceeds my criteria for such. A resident who heard Copeland use the word in March had complained to city officials, which is what reportedly led to the email. On a couple Thursdays ago, residents flocked to a heated town meeting to demand his resignation, which he did not offer. So there's a little bit of audio to go along with this, too. I don't believe he's going to say the N-word in this at all, so don't get excited.
Yeah, topping our news this morning, a Wolfboro police commissioner is at the center of a controversy this morning. Commissioner Robert Copeland used a racial slur to describe President Obama, and now some people are calling for him to resign. The town held a meeting last night where Wolfboro residents voiced their outrage over this issue. Ray Brewer joins us live in the studio now. And Ray, did the commissioner who was there have anything to say about these comments?
No, he didn't say much at the meeting, Sean, but Police Commissioner Robert Copeland making no apologies for his comments about President Obama. What Copeland said, we cannot repeat, but the racial slur has prompted at least 100 people to demand his resignation.
Apparently you can't say N-word when you're talking about the... Not only can you not say the word, you can't say N-word anymore.
Oh, wow.
Don't know why, but...
Can you call the N-word word?
One, Wolfboro residents voiced their anger about racial slurs Police Commissioner Robert Copeland made about President Obama.
This is a public office, and I just want to simply say there's absolutely no room for this anywhere in public office.
I think his statements are reprehensible.
Copeland made the statement.
Let me be clear. There are many shades of white people there.
I was going to say.
It was not like I was eavesdropping on a table next to me or a table across the room. He was very loud.
But Robert Copeland kept quiet during Thursday night's meeting. Asked to resign, he had nothing to say. However, in a letter to O'Toole, he admitted using, quote, the N-word in reference to the current occupant of the White House. For this, I do not apologize. He meets and exceeds my criteria for such.
It was an open admission of being...
I don't even know what that means.
That's horrible. That's even worse than just using the N-word.
That is bad.
He may be referencing Chris Rock there. You know, because Chris Rock does the whole bit about niggas and N-words and, you know, Chris Rock.
Chris Rock. I heard you say niggas and N-words, and I'm just reconciling that in my mind, but I'm caught up now, so good.
Yeah, so I don't know if, I can't imagine that this guy is referencing that, but that's the only thing I can think of.
Because they didn't get an answer inside, a group of people like Whitney White demanded answers after the meeting was...
Whitney White, the only African-American there.
What's your point with that, though? That white people can't be upset about the use of repugnant language?
No. That's not my point. I'm just pointing out the fact that they are.
This is Vermont or something?
No, it's New Hampshire.
Oh, okay, New Hampshire,
same
right.
Thing.
It is pretty much the same thing.
Oh, wow.
Just turned upside down and next to each other. It's like they're 69ing.
That's romantic.
Yeah, it is.
It's over.
It's hurtful.
White and several others confronted Copeland as he went to his car.
Hold yourself accountable for what you said.
I'm getting in.
Where he made no apology.
It's because you're not giving examples.
I admitted. I admitted what I did. I made no bones about it.
The police commission is.
So that's it.
See, that's the problem. Like, I feel like someone that holds that type of office and has that much power should not be racist. That would be nice.
Well ideally, yes.
But like he should be he should get fired.
In a perfect world. Yeah.
Why are they asking him to resign? Can't they just straight up fire him for being racist?
It depends on the structure. Yeah. Do they have a commission or is he elected or what's the deal?
It really does depend. We don't know. So I'm not sure.
We could research it, but we didn't. Before the show, therefore.
What is wrong with the world? I feel like we're just doing like a whole bunch of like people are just like really disappointing.
Yes.
Like in society. Like society is just a big fat disappointment right now.
It's true.
Well, since you said that, I try to make things right with this show. So we go from the most disappointing person to what could be one of the most uplifting things I've seen in a while. It comes from a mixed martial arts fight of all places. It's an amateur fight, and two fighters were having a bout, and one was having...
All right, now it's time for another Friday finish, though this finish is not like anything we've seen before. All right, check this out. Prison City Fight League amateur flyweights. Jeremy Racer in the black and blue.
It's Prison City Fights, but it's not a prison fight, Ted. Oh. It's amateur mixed martial arts.
Well, where do you watch actual prison fights then?
Prison.
I don't want to go there. Damn it!
So let them describe what happened.
Mike Pantanko, and it's Pantanko who's just teeing off. He's the guy delivering the beating.
He's busy.
He keeps it going, and then he backs off and taps out.
What?
Pantanko was winning the fight, but he backs off and taps out. And he told us why he forfeited a fight he was winning.
I just feel that it's no point fighting him because he didn't train against me and I didn't train for him. And I just feel like we're amateur fighters. We don't get money. We don't get paid. And I know that the only thing I'm going to finish the fight is him to go in hospital or get hurt. I just feel like terrible. So I'm just going to give him the win.
Wow.
How about that?
A fight with a conscience.
Wait,
conscience.
So why didn't he just win?
Because this guy, the guy that was getting his, he was just taking a beating, but he wasn't going down.
Oh, he wasn't going down. Oh, okay, well, that's
no,
what I was
he
saying.
Was,
like,
he
I
was not going down. This guy just kept coming and kept coming. So this guy's like, there was no counter punches or move or
so
anything.
He really was just beating the shit.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
He didn't want to kill him, I guess.
Yeah, he didn't want to put him in the hospital. He didn't want to hurt him. So
does the ref never say this is too much in
yeah,
this kind of
like,
fight?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
They do, but it's usually only after the fighter goes down and can't defend himself anymore. This guy was back up on, was always on his feet.
Huh.
Or would get back up on his feet over and over and over again. So
disturbing.
So I just thought that was...
That was really cool.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really... You know what? I'm feeling a lot better about people now.
See?
He didn't kill him. He just beat the shit out of him.
Brought y'all back around.
There's a... Wow.
Yeah.
The feel-good story of the year is where someone doesn't kill another person because they actually feel bad about it. Basic human things we're congratulating. That's all I'm pointing out, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Society is still a piece of shit.
Happy Memorial Day, everyone. Oh, wait,
yeah.
Not today, as people listen. Never mind.
Yeah, as we're recording it, though.
As we're recording.
All right. So we blew out Florida Corner. We're going to wrap up the show with this. But before we do, I want to thank everybody who's been shopping Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. We do appreciate it. It is the best way to help support the show. It's simple. Just go to the website. Go right up to the top. There's a Shop Amazon tab. You click that. It brings you to Amazon.com. And then go to town. Shop for whatever you need. Whether it be household supplies or kitty litter or something nice for somebody that you care about. Although kitty litter is pretty nice for your cats because they need a place to poop.
And for you.
Mm, it's true.
Because otherwise you have a box full of poo.
Mm, yes. Empty box of poo.
Yeah. Empty
box of poo is the worst kind of box.
Nobody wants that. It does not cost you anything extra. That's the other thing. So so if you're looking to stick it to Amazon, do that because we get a part of it. So they make less money every time it happens. So there you go. This article I found interesting. Marina has it all. She has the job. She has the looks. And depending on her mood, she has the choice of Frankie the acrobatic dancer, Harrison the revolutionary, or Eric the actor. Because she's using a service called Rent-A-Gent. Starting at $200 an hour, users can pick from a list of handsome, intelligent men listed on the service's website to be their companion and to either book online or call to reserve a gent. The men can serve as a date to an event, cook meals, or even repair a sink.
Hmm.
But what they're not allowed to do is hook up. No kissing and definitely no sex while on the job.
Yeah, never. I'm sure it doesn't happen.
Gotta wait till he clocks out. And then, she ended up choosing Eric, whose Rent-A-Gent profile described him as someone who loves the outdoors, culture, and is also active in social causes for a rock climbing date, something she'd never done before but always wanted to try. She said, "It's very hard to find a man that has good qualities, and then you have to get to know them in the whole dating process while this website is just a click away. You can just hang out for 2 hours and then say goodbye. You go your ways. It's amazing," she continued. "You have all your different types of men that you would choose and choose how to spend your time with them. While this one-and-done date seems like a fun solution to typical dating, a relationship expert, or as I like to call her, buzzkill, Donna Barnes, says hiring a companion could hurt women's chances at finding real love. She says, "It's really dangerous when you start putting too much emphasis on the package of who someone is. I think commonality is what makes relationships work. By hiring someone who's attractive, you start holding up this standard. You might overlook someone who's really wonderful and could make you happy, but it's kind of homely." Rent-A-Gent offers services in 11 states and the District of Columbia. The founder and CEO, Sarah Siekman, and a panel of judges carefully select each gent in casting sessions, weeding out many of those who audition and selecting the best of the best. This is like an episode of Gigolos, if you've ever seen that on Showtime, without the sex,
I
allegedly.
Have not.
Yeah.
Oh, you're missing something.
I'm missing a lot, I know.
I do remember seeing that movie.
It's a regular TV show on Showtime. It's not a movie.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, it is a movie, though, right? With what's his name? Paul? No.
Could be. I don't know. So, yeah, it's not a sex service, though, although some of the calls are from clients looking to be promiscuous. Some of the calls are like this. Hey, I want to hire a guy. My wife is going to go cook dinner with him, but I want to meet them after. And we're like, well, what do you want to do? And then they're like, well, I want to watch my wife have sex with a guy. And we say, sorry, this is not that kind of service.
Aw.
So... Wait.
By the way, this story was done on Nightline. ABC News Nightline did this story. I don't think we can slag too hard on Barbara Walters for losing.
This is just where society's going. I'm just putting it out there. This is where society's going. Except for, is there a lesbian one? Is it possible?
I don't know.
You can start one. Maybe you're calling. Uh-oh. I see the gears turning.
She's thinking, which is terrible for an audio podcast.
There might be an app for that, you guys. I'm trademarking that shit right now, so do not steal my
Lady
idea.
Grinder?
Aha! Clam Joust. The app.
Well, I wonder, like, what if it's like a gay thing? Like, they always talk about these escort services, right? But I don't know if they do the other, like, it's for, I only know for straight people.
I bet there's a gay escort service.
I would imagine there is.
If not many.
Whatever. No one took me to the Bunny Ranch for my birthday, so I'm pissed.
Oh, man. That's right. Outing next year. I don't know. Podcast outing.
Podcast outing to the Bunny Ranch.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Maybe we start raising funds.
I was like, no.
Maybe if we get enough donations from our listeners, sure. We can go to the Bunny Ranch.
Sure.
All right. Woo, it's on.
Good said that. if any of our listeners happen to know Dennis Hoff and want to set something up, For Diana, then we'll go ahead and do that.
That'd be really cool. I mean, this is really bad for an audio podcast, but I'm hella teasing ear to ear right now.
You are. I don't think I've ever seen you this happy.
It's
just the thought of it.
Dream big. There's a destination wedding that Diana could get behind.
Oh my
to
God,
the Bunny Ranch.
So romantic.
you do know what Air Force Amy looks like, right?
Air Force Amy?
Yeah, she works at the Bunny Ranch.
No, but...
She's worked there for a long time.
Barbara
Walters long?
Not Barbara Walters long. Hasn't been there since the 50s. I don't know. You have to watch old episodes of Cat House on HBO. Which, by the way, old HBO shows now streaming on Amazon Prime. Free.
Oh,
with the membership.
Air Force Amy?
Air Force Amy.
Is there someone else that I would
find? Where's your patriotism?
She's a very attractive lady. Yeah. Not my cup of tea.
Listen, you said you wanted to go there and hang out in the bar and chat them up.
Do
That's
I have
what
to talk
said.
To that one?
What is it about her that intimidates you? Or not intimidates you?
Is
Never
it her
mind.
Giant fake boobs? The
giant fake lips?
The
giant
like,
fake hair?
Yeah, it just she looks very...
fake?
Manufactured? I don't know. Yeah. It's just, I don't... I like... I don't know. She just looks older. Too.
Well, she is.
Yeah, I don't know how to say anything without sounding like a shallow dude, so I'm not.
Who's your ideal woman?
Yeah.
Other
than Ellen Page.
Oh, Ellen Page, yeah. Oh, and then Page. Tina Fey. But also, I mean, can't always say.
But she's old.
The problem is I probably dated the hottest person I ever am going to hook up with. So it's sad. So I might as well just go to strippers.
Oh, not with that
attitude.
That
sounded really bad.
Raise your bar.
Yeah, well.
My bar was raised too high. That's a problem. I'm a firm believer in upgrading, but I kind of set the bar way too high on this one. So I think I'm going to move to L.A. or something.
Well, and there's various levels of strippers, too. There's Richards Boulevard strippers. And then there's Gold Club strippers. Just saying. All strippers are not the same.
That's true. So. She just looked, yeah, too... I don't know. Like, not too fake.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Right? Like, yeah. You know, a little more natural beauty. I think that's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. All right.
I'm sure there's more.
My Tina Fey, as you said.
Yeah.
Well, I think
she's
that's a
real
good,
beauty.
I think that's a good place to leave this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Have a good Thursday. We'll see you with another new show on Friday. Till then, be safe, don't be sorry, and we'll see you in a couple days. Bye-bye.
Bye.